My guest today, Ahmed Ansaldua, was someone I interviewed while he was still studying at Western Michigan University some years ago. Dr. Ansaldua is returning this week with his professional choir from the Twin Cities area of Minnesota. It's called Border Crossing. Border Crossing will be appearing in events sponsored by the Gilmore Keyboard Festival. Before we begin our conversation, I can tell you now that Ahmed Ansaldua has a special quality of bringing his unique perspective to a community and creating a new way for it to see itself through music. So, Ahmed, I'm glad you're coming back to town for this tour, and I'm so glad to talk to you again.
Oh, thank you so much.
So, last I knew, you were leaving Kalamazoo for Minnesota after having earned a couple of master's degrees in piano performance and choral conducting. What took you to Minnesota?
Well, it really was the opportunity to work with Kathy Romy, who is the head of choral activities at the University of Minnesota. It's just a wonderful program. And also the city itself is at the center of a lot of choral music activity in the country. So it was just a really great place to be to pursue choral conducting.
You entered another academic program for your doctorate?
That's correct. So I graduated at Western from a master's in choral conducting in 2016. And that same year, I started the doctorate in choral conducting at the University of Minnesota.
Now, how long did that take to complete, or are you still working on your PhD?
No, I officially became Dr. Ansaldua in May of 2019.
Oh, congratulations.
Thank you.
Were you at a crossroads at that point, wondering what to do with your degree and your experience?
As I was approaching the end of the doctorate, there were several different career options opening up. Some involved, you know, being a professor, teaching in academia, and others involved pursuing more of a performance career. And I'm very happy with how things have resulted this year. So I am director of music ministries at Unity Unitarian Church in St. Paul, Minnesota. It's a very large music program, a full-time job. And it also gives me time to work as a performer and with Border Crossing full-time. So I'm quite happy with how things have resulted this year.
Is Border Crossing a passion project? How did this begin?
I would say, yeah, that's kind of how it started. I was in my first semester in the doctorate in 2016. And there's just all this music I've been wanting to perform forever. A lot of it from Latin America, you know, connected to my own heritage, being from Mexico. And a lot of that music I actually first started to perform as a student at Western with the different groups there. And in 2016, around the time of the presidential election, there was so much rhetoric that was so damaging against people from Latin America, people from my cultural background, that I just really felt compelled to kind of do something to push back against those sorts of narratives. So I started a group. We said, well, let's organize a concert of music that we're just not seeing performed here. And that concert eventually became a concert series. And now we are 3.5 years in. We're in the middle of our third season. We've gotten several very nice reviews, big projects with some international recognition. So it's grown very, very fast. It started as a little group with absolutely no budget. And at this point, I would say we are kind of, it's getting much too big for just me to handle. So now it involves several people, and it's a nice organization that's taking roots here in the Twin Cities.
Well, before we get too much farther, I'd like to tell listeners that they have a few opportunities to hear Border Crossing in Kalamazoo in the region, and that is thanks to an organization you've had long ties with as well, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival has hired you for summer programs and other things. So it's the education department sending you on the road to Battle Creek schools, Kalamazoo schools, and a grand finale concert at First Presbyterian Church at 7 o'clock on Friday the 24th. So I did want to point out that your ties here remain strong, and I'm sure you're grateful for that.
Oh, I am. I have so many close friends in Kalamazoo and people that I consider family, and that we still just remain connected consistently. And well, the Gilmore Keyboard Festival is just such an unique, wonderful thing. It's what brought me to Kalamazoo in the first place to get that master's in piano performance. And I was teaching in their summer programs, and you know, did a lot of volunteer work and that sort of thing throughout my time in Kalamazoo, and those ties remained, and they so kindly invited us to come perform. So much of the music that we'll be performing at the concerts is very keyboard-centric. So I've been practicing on the harpsichord. I've been practicing some very tricky piano stuff that I usually we have not really performed before. So this will be exciting for us, too.
Well, you don't have much time left for practicing, because you'll be here very soon with the 9-piece choir border crossing here in the Kalamazoo region. And details are available, by the way, if this gets complicated for listeners, look it up at thegilmore.org and under Education Department. And before we get to the music you're focusing on for this tour, may I ask about a special performance of Handel that you just staged over the holidays?
Oh, yeah. That was actually one of our very first programs about 3 years ago. But just this year, it got a lot of attention, which we were grateful for. And it is a version of Handel's Messiah that alternates between Spanish and English. So all of the choruses, all of the arias are just constantly changing languages. And we insert music by a Latin American composer from a Christmas cantata called Navidad Nuestra. And we just do this sort of a mashup where the instrumentation of both pieces is mixed up, where one piece flows into the other. When I describe it like that, it kind of sounds like a crazy idea, but it does work quite well, and it's been very well received. So the first year we did it, it garnered some surprise. It won a nice award from the Knight Foundation, which helped us kind of put on the following performance. And it's just gotten a little bit bigger, but 3 years in, it's become I would say part of the cultural calendar of the Latin American population here in the Twin Cities. It's something that people now look forward to.
Wow. I imagine it would just bring a completely different, like it would be an eye-opening, world-opening kind of experience after hearing so many of the very, very British kind of Handel versions.
It perks up your ears. And one of the challenges of doing a work like Handel's Messiah or something like that that is just so done is finding ways to present it so that a listener just feels like they're experiencing it for the first time. And that was what a lot of people told us that they felt when we performed it that way. The unfamiliar text and the slight changes that we're making just kind of perked their ears a little bit and made them realize maybe some things that they hadn't heard before in the piece.
Well, let's move on and look at some highlights that you'll be performing on the public concert at 7 o'clock Friday, the 24th, at First Presbyterian Church. So I imagine there are some things people haven't heard before on this program.
Definitely. Yeah, definitely.
Such as?
Well, the program we're bringing, because we'll be doing several school visits while we're there. So Border Crossing is a professional ensemble of about 16 singers, but we have a smaller group, a chamber ensemble, which is 9 people, as you mentioned, singer, also double bass player, keyboard, some traditional South American instruments. And with that educational group, we presented a program we call 500 Years of Latin American Music, where we kind of start in the 1500s and progress through the centuries and present music that's both from the classical music tradition, music that are folk songs or folk songs arrangement, art songs. So just a wide variety of things meant to emphasize just the breadth and richness of Latin American musical culture. And we alternate between, you know, harpsichord for the early music, a piano for the more modern things, lots of different styles of singing. And I'm very lucky in that the singers in the group just have a lot of flexibility, and they're able to just switch on the spot between the different demands of the different pieces.
Is it easy to over-research this wide-ranging subject? I mean, you could go from country to country, to city, to region, and learn amazing things about music from past centuries.
Yes. Well, I've been accused by my singers of over-programming and just doing a little bit too much. It becomes it becomes hard to pick just exactly what we ought to feature, because sometimes, especially when we're visiting schools, you can read the room, and sometimes there's just this one piece that's perfect for it. So basically what we do when we do most of our concerts, actually, is that we list our program as to be chosen from, and there are maybe 15 selections there, and we'll pick and choose as we go. Something that's very specific to the way Border Crossing does concerts is that we like to have as much audience interaction as we can. So at the very least, you know, I'll talk with the audience, I'll introduce each piece before we sing it so that they know a little bit of what to expect. In the more raucous things, or more informal things, there might be more back and forth. But at the very least, we do that. So that also leads to the community sing that we're doing on while we're in Kalamazoo. That will be a more interactive sort of thing where one of my musicians and I will be teaching songs and kind of leading sing-alongs of them.
I'm glad you brought that up, community participation, because there is a free public event as part of this Border Crossing tour on Thursday, 5:30 p.m. on Thursday the 23rd. It will feature Border Crossing plus the Kalamazoo Justice Choir and Danza Folklorica, which is a dance ensemble. This sounds like a party for everyone, to be held at the Hispanic American Council on Lake Street. The whole room will be participating.
Yep, eating tamales as well. and that's the way we've... So here in the Twin Cities, Border Crossing's concert season alternates between community singing events and concerts. So we go back and forth. So for example, in December, we did the Messiah program you mentioned, but then the following week, we did a community sing where people came together and learned Christmas music from different parts of Latin America. And we broke a piñata together and drank hot chocolate and had a bit of a conversation. It was very informal. And then our following concert, you know, was a very sort of academic sort of music, Baroque music from Peru and Cuba and Mexico, all very, you know, very traditional and classical. And that will be followed by a community sing involving a mariachi band. So we kind of try to go back and forth between just as many different ways as we can to engage people with music and culture.
It sounds to me like you found a special way of leading people, leading musicians in the choir, but also inviting community to participate. What might you be doing differently, or what are you consciously doing to create that we're all in it together kind of atmosphere at a concert?
You know, that's the question, really. Because there's really not one single thing that you can do, but it's just a whole host of little things. that we keep doing. At least here in the Twin Cities, border crossing so far, we've been very intentional about only performing at two specific locations that are very important in the Twin Cities Latin American communities, one in St. Paul and one in Minneapolis. And as we've progressed through our three seasons, we've just been constantly making little adjustments to make sure that we are working in the community and kind of responding to what people are looking for and need as much as what we're bringing. So little things like maybe adjusting our concert start time so they don't conflict with other events, providing childcare or making concerts welcoming to parents when we see that a certain concert will have a lot of parents there, you know, that sort of thing. Even the Messiah concert that you mentioned, that came about because the people of one specific church in St. Paul had a conversation with me. Just some of the elders of that church were just telling me how every year they got together and they made a trip to downtown St. Paul to listen to Messiah, and that they just wished that someone would perform it there. The church had been there since the 1930s and Messiah had never been performed there. So that's really how that came about. So I wouldn't say it's one thing, but it's definitely just maintaining a consistent presence and becoming a part of the community rather than just coming in and you know, performing music and then going on off to the next thing.
Find out more about border crossing coming to Kalamazoo and visiting schools and performing public concerts, including community sing-along at thegilmore.org. That's interesting how you talk about that because I'm also, you know, thinking of how you're the new guy in town. Why would anyone listen to to take up any of your suggestions? You didn't even know the Twin Cities at the time.
You know, it's friends of friends. I came in, I just tried to look for opportunities to sing with the other groups. And by singing with those groups, I met people who I liked swinging with. I made friends. And then you have maybe an idea for a music program, that a concert program that includes music that people just haven't heard before. And musicians, at least musicians that I've worked with, we get excited when we see music that we haven't seen before, that touches in new ways. I will say that at the beginning, it really just came together from two or three very close friends, one who still sings in the group, and those reaching out to their friends and just telling them, hey, why don't you give this conductor, this group a chance? Let's try to make it happen. I would say that at its core, it came together because people found the music itself to just be really compelling. And they hadn't really experienced it or heard it before. And that was also part of the where I saw the need to start the group. You know, as I was looking for doctoral programs, I auditioned all over the country, and I kept talking with, you know, wonderful, wonderful academics and conductors with multiple degrees who, in many cases, just had no idea that this music even existed. So that in itself just spoke to a need that it needed to be performed.
Well, much like Kalamazoo, I mean, the Twin Cities region is proud of its, I think, musical education, musical awareness, thanks to a long tradition there of, as you said, choral and much more, orchestra. So it's more than a novelty to bring this music to an audience that appreciates music, loves music, but is completely unaware of certain traditions that you were able to bring to the forefront. It goes beyond novelty, I think.
Oh, I completely agree with that. It's, and I've had talks with colleagues and friends, And they're always surprised that of all places where a group like this would take root is Minnesota. You know, one would think that the natural home for a group that does so much Latin American music would be in the American Southwest or California or, you know, Southern Texas or something like that. But Minnesota has a large Latino population, but at least the choral audience here is definitely not majoritarily Hispanic or Latinx. So, but, you know, that's a common question that I'll find in music education circles when you're talking about diversity, equity, inclusion. There's always the question of, well, why should I program this music if I don't have a student of color or students from this culture here? Or if my audience is not, or my congregation at my church, why should I? And generally my response is that those are the cases where it is most important to program music that is outside of the cultural majority, because that music becomes that first exposure or the first contact with these cultures that people do not know as well as they should. And I think that's part of the reason why it's been so embraced here. It's not novelty. It's the fact that people, I mean, this might be a little grandiose, but I do feel that when people go to a border crossing program, a lot of the time they'll notice that there was so much that they didn't know that they didn't know. And it just kind of, you know, gets your curiosity going. It wakes you up a little bit. It wants you to find out what else is out there that you didn't know was out there.
Well, I think that's where we will leave it for today. And Ahmed, it's great to catch up with you again. And I look forward to seeing Border Crossing in Kalamazoo. Thanks again.
Oh, thank you.
Dr. Ahmed Ansaldua is bringing Border Crossing to Kalamazoo and Battle Creek January 22nd through 24th. To find out how to see them, visit the events page at thegilmore.org.